Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, now podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris, today. And how are you doing today?
You know what? I'm fantastic. It's Wednesday. It's New Comic Book Day, as we always say. It probably seems pretty tiresome for all of our listeners who listen to us every week that we do.
I never get tired of free comic book.
Well, you know,
New Comic Book Day.
No, I don't either. But, you know, maybe the people that are listening do get tired of me saying that it's New Comic Book Day. But
never,
you know what?
Never.
I hope not, because the wonderful world of comics is a magical place to visit, although I wouldn't want to live there.
Good. Good. Chris, as always, on Wednesdays, we start the show with mentioning some new releases that are coming out today.
Yeah.
And today I want to mention that Conan the Cimmerian number 21 is coming out from Dark Horse.
Unbelievable. You know, I love the fact that Conan has been resurrected from obscurity through Dark Horse over the years now. It's been a number of years that Dark Horse is obviously running with this title, and I think it's great.
Yeah, and I don't know what Marvel did wrong with Conan to begin with. I mean, maybe nothing. Maybe just...
I think it just, you know, geez, that's a character that had, what, like, was it 300 comics or at least 200?
275, I believe. Yeah, you're right.
Plus miniseries and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you look at upwards of 300 issues. I think they just kind of ran out of steam and ideas, and at the time, they were wondering, they didn't really know what else to do with the character. And like a lot of properties like that, sometimes it needs a little cooling off period. Mm-hmm. So people kind of forget about it, and, you know, then they can come back to it and resurrect it and relook at the character again.
Well, being a Conan fan, all I can think of is Dark Horse is having a great run with this right now. And now Dark Horse is no DC, Dark Horse is no Marvel.
No.
Just as a fanboy, I would have loved to seen DC try it.
Right. For sure.
Just
that
like a bigger
cool,
publisher, a bigger company, more advertising,
and
that kind of stuff.
It's funny you should say that, because I remember reading an article about Joe Quesada, who is the editor-in-chief of Marvel, and he said that letting go of that Conan franchise was one of the biggest mistakes that Marvel made, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they had that title for so long, and they just let it fall by the wayside, and of course Dark Horse picked it up.
Can you imagine, though, Chris, the crossovers, you know, Conan
and Batman.
Power Girl.
I love it already. That sounds fantastic.
All right. DC today, Justice Society of America number 39. Now, who'd have thought? The reason I picked this one, who'd have thought, is Justice Society is basically not the Justice League,
you know what? It's not.
They're doing well. They're selling, and it's a good title, and shop has a lot of loyal readers to Justice Society.
Like myself,
yes.
I'm actually a loyal reader of Justice Society. I'm actually a bigger fan of Justice Society than I am the Justice League of
America. Why is that?
Because, you know what? I don't want to say I'm sick of the characters in Justice League, but there's so much Batman, and there's so much Superman, and so much Wonder Woman all over the place that,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I can get my Batman fill anywhere. I can go buy Detective or Batman or Legends or whatever. I don't even know what's the, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Or I can get Action Comics, or I can get Wonder Woman. Whereas with Justice Society, I can't find the Golden Age Green Lantern everywhere. I can't find a Wildcat comic book everywhere, right? So I'm getting all these cool characters that I don't get a chance to read their individual issues from, all in one great big book. And it's a well-written book. Usually they take characters from years ago, and they sort of they expand on it, and they pay homage to it. Like, you know, they'll bring a character like the Ultra Humanite back into the series, and it's just a really cool series, right?
Now, would it be fair to say that the Justice Society is greater than the sum of its parts?
Absolutely, for sure. Because I don't think you could have a Wildcat comic. I don't think you could have a Golden Age Flash comic.
Right.
Nobody cares about Jay
Garrick.
I hate
that helmet, by
the way. Nobody cares about the little FTD, you know, Mercury helmet, right?
Yes.
Like, nobody would buy these comics. However, individually they're kind of lame, but together, absolutely, they have a great,
they work.
Well, you know what? They create a synergy.
A synergy. Oh, that's
the
good.
Sum. The sum is greater than the parts.
That is excellent. Well, good. Superman Batman Annual number 4 also comes out today, Chris, and I picked that one because I remember last week you and I were talking about we thought annuals had gone away.
Right.
And Spider-Man, I think, had an annual 37 or something. And now here's Superman Batman with another annual.
Well, and it's funny because DC really was never known for their annuals either, right? So Marvel really had the whole annual fixation kind of thing, whereas DC never really did the annuals. They did treasuries and all that kind of stuff. Marvel really didn't do DC never really did an annual.
Right. It's funny with annuals, too, because the annuals had they kind of had, over a period of time, they went through a phase where they were all reprints.
Yes.
And then they went through another phase where important new content was revealed in annuals.
Yeah.
If you remember, you know, Sue and Reed get married in annuals. You introduce to Peter Parker's parents in annuals.
Yeah.
And then they go back to reprints already. It's like they gave up on the premise.
And then they went back to reprints. And then for a while there, only the annuals were part of like this company-wide storyline that was going on, right?
Right.
So you'd have Invasion or Secret Wars
Atlantis
or something. Atlantis attacks.
You're right.
And it would be like it would be in every only in the annuals. So yes. You have to buy all the annuals.
So some poor kid go, God damn, I got to buy the stupid annual.
I don't normally buy
Quasar annual number one. Yeah, what the heck? This sucks.
Come on. Quasar was a great character.
Absolutely was.
No.
He wasn't. Yeah. You're right.
Never.
Chris, we'll leave the new this week. And as always, this is just a smattering, Chris, of titles that are coming out.
Oh, I know. Today. Absolutely. It's as always. It's you please go out and check it out, what's going on. And as always, lots of great stuff.
Yeah. And hit your local comic shop for sure today. And if not today, by the weekend for sure. Chris, we're going to jump right into some industry news.
Okay, what's going on?
And first of all, Dynamite Entertainment, who's always been kind of a shark, they're not really good. Dynamite Entertainment, a great company.
Yes.
But they're not really good at creating their own stuff.
No.
So they go and take other people's stuff and turn it into comic books.
Absolutely.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, I would have to say that in today's day and age, it would be pretty hard to come up with a new idea that hasn't been done before.
Right.
Years ago, remember there was that whole cross-gen company that was started. And really, I mean, it was lots of great stories, lots of great artwork, but really kind of cookie cutter kind of storylines.
You think a couple of guys, Chris, like me and you, would that want to create a comic, do you think they sit there at night with a couple of beers or something and do you think they like draw a list of insects and check them off? It's like, the fly? God, already somebody did that. What about the beetle? No, somebody did
tarantula.
That.
Tarantula. Oh, it was done too. Darn it all.
Let's think of something else. Yeah. Let's not do insects. Let's do mammals.
Let's do marsupials. Yeah, it's a kangaroo boy. Let's do it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, Dynamite Entertainment, they've picked up Flash Gordon and Mandrake the Magician.
Well, you know, I'm happy about Flash Gordon. Mandrake, I don't know. It's I know he's been around I think he was one of the very first
30s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like one of the first comic book heroes ever, really. Yeah. But you know, Mandrake, really?
When I think Mandrake, though, I think the dog.
that's Marmaduke.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, right. Either or is good for me, you know.
Damn.
You know they're coming out with
dogs. Let's think of dogs.
You know what? They're coming out with a Marmaduke movie.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. Owen Wilson is providing the voice for the Marmaduke movie.
Wow.
Please, you know.
Don't ask me anything
about
it.
Don't ask me anything else about it because it looks terrible.
Okay.
But then again, I'm not a big fan of those animated talking kind of dog movie things.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, listen, they're going to turn every single comic property into a movie.
I can't wait for the Ziggy movie.
Oh, I know. Ziggy would be great. No, Dilbert will be my favorite.
Ziggy will be looking up at the stars, wondering all about life and, you know, contemplating things. And yeah,
Chris, Madame Tussauds in the Wax Museum in London.
Yes.
They're having a 4D. Marvel
4D.
Display.
What is exactly?
Well, it's like a 3D, but then they do stuff.
Oh,
they move.
I thought maybe there was like some sort of like extra sensory, like maybe there would be like smell-o-vision or something.
Well,
like that.
That's what I think, like, it is. I think it's the 3D, but they're not just static figures.
Oh, so do we get to smell the web slingers' webs? Or,
oh gosh, I wish I knew, but I don't know.
Or maybe how Mary Jane smells.
Okay, let's move on before they pull us off the air.
I'm just saying, hey, you know, it'd be just Doc Ock. Could you imagine what his armpit smells like? All wow. 8 of them.
I know you're right. Horrible. You're right.
Or at least no, 6, anyways.
The exhibit
right
is going on in London. And now, Madame Tussaud, this is like an institution that's
for sure,
like
absolutely,
a thousand
yes.
million years old. It's been
at least.
No, I mean, I'm talking about
it's been
like
around a long time.
It's one of those old school, old money
yes.
exhibits.
Yes.
And it's like they're coming on with the times. It's almost like you know, maybe Jack the Ripper as a wax figure isn't cutting it anymore.
Absolutely.
But we got to get with the times.
For
let's,
sure.
Let's
for sure. Well, I'm sure they have like, you know, like Barack Obama and
the Queen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, if anybody's now, what happened was that they planned this whole thing around. There was some sort of big, huge Comic Con in London last week, the MCM Expo in London,
okay.
which is a massive Comic Con,
right?
And they planned it around. They planned the Madame Tussauds Marvel exhibit around the opening of the
cool.
Comic Con.
Cool.
So
cool.
I'm not sure how long it goes on, but they actually had cabs. You know, that were decorated with the Madame Tussauds.
Oh, very
thing,
cool.
That were running people from the con over to the Madame Tussauds.
I want to be in the Doctor Strange cab.
The Doctor Strange cab. All right.
By the Eye of Agamotto or whatever it is, yeah.
All right, Chris. hold on. Is this thing on? Hello?
Okay. Oh, come on. I do teach comic book history after all. I got to say some of these things.
Okay, listen. We're going to move right into Time Warner.
Ooh.
They had a meeting, apparently. Apparently, they had this meeting, like a shareholders meeting.
Okay.
And I think the shareholders were going, hey, guys, why the hell is Marvel making all this money off their comic book characters
enough,
and we're
yeah,
not?
For sure, right?
And so this is part of the discussion that they were having. And what's the gentleman's name? I don't even know. Barry Meyer, who's
okay.
like the big player at Warner Brothers. Time Warner, sorry. He went over the scenario to the shareholders on the comic book related movies that are coming out.
Right.
Now, Green Lantern
yes.
is coming out in June this month.
Well,
right?
and
Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex is
yes.
coming out
right.
as well.
Now, they've also said that a Flash film is nearing approval.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I like
I
it. Well, you know, it really, what they have to do, they have to have a Wonder Woman movie coming out soon, too, right? They have to have a Wonder Woman movie and perhaps revive the Superman franchise. They have to do something with their core characters, as well as dealing with, you know, the Flash and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's part of what you're talking about. But.
Well, actually, they did mention that the Batman 3...
Yeah.
is eyeing a summer 2012 release.
Oh, very
Can
good.
Can you imagine 2012? I think they have the Avengers lined up for
yeah.
that summer, and
yeah.
I think Thor or something
yeah, yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a heck of a summer for comic movies. Also, Superman for Christmas time 2012.
Wow, okay.
And Wonder Woman and Aquaman are also in the pipeline.
Perfect. You know, and you just need to have a Power Girl movie after that as well.
Okay, they're probably not going to hit that one.
Well, you know what?
I think they'll do Legion before Power Girl.
Oh, come on. They will not. They're doing a Jonah Hex movie right now. Come on.
Yeah, but it's a Western, you know. And hey, when's the last good Western you've seen?
Okay, this isn't even – I don't know if you even call this a Western. This is like comic book Western. It's a Western, but I mean, come on. It's not really Western.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
I mean, there's a guy with guns in the Old West.
All right,
it's a Western.
Right. Okay, fine. Okay, but why can't we do a Power Girl movie? It's like a female Supergirl. Like, you know, why not?
Okay. I mean, you know what? I think Power Girl, honestly, I think Power Girl would probably be a great kind of
comedy?
Supporting cast member for, say, Wonder Woman.
Right.
And maybe if they had, like, some sort of love scene.
Oh, well, of course you would have to bring up something like that. You know what?
Okay.
Here, I am merely trying to talk about the character as based on her own virtues and not just her physical attributes. You know, I'm disappointed in you once again, Walt.
Chris, Tommy Lee Jones has been...
ignored again.
Haley Atwell, she was an actress who starred, I think, in Brideshead Revisited was one of the movies she was in. She was quoted at comicbookmovie.com as saying that Tommy Lee Jones will appear in the Captain America movie.
Oh, cool.
But they don't know the role he's in yet.
I'm going to guess the Red Skull, but
no
makeup needed.
No, yeah, right. That's good. Hugo Weaving is playing the Red Skull.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
And, of course, Chris Evans is playing Cap. And that's going to be a great movie.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's part of the big troika there that Marvel's doing towards the Avengers movie. That's going to be awesome.
Maybe Tommy Lee Jones will play Arnim Zola, who's the kind of robot kind of guy that's got a big face for his chest.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he'll play some sort of bounty hunter that's after some guy that's...
maybe like wanted or something.
Yeah,
and
like
fugitives. Yeah, like a fugitive kind of thing.
Okay.
And he'll play like a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah.
Oh wait.
Or maybe he'll play some guy that's, you know, looking for aliens that shouldn't be on Earth.
That's an excellent idea. You know what? That's almost like a movie in and of itself. That's fantastic. Where do you come up with these ideas, Walt?
Yeah. All right. Hey, Professor X has been cast in the X-Men First Class movie.
What, you mean it's not going to be Make It So, you know, Patrick Stewart?
No, because First Class is it's like a reboot. It's like a young X-Men movie, right?
And
a young guy named James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. Okay,
yes. Who starred in Wanted.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He will be Professor X in the X-Men First Class.
Oh, very cool.
Now, what do you think? What do you think of this? Now, this is a big, obviously for the studio, right? They think they ran their course with Halle Berry and Hugh Jackman, and you know that's all been tapped out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like a Star Trek scenario where they're going
you know,
we got to go back to the well.
Yeah.
We'll pick all these young actors, and if it works, man, we got two or three movies after that.
Yeah,
but if it doesn't, we're in trouble.
You know, I think they really could have gone back to the old cast a couple more times if they'd
gotten
some good writing going with you know, I know that there were some issues with Halle Berry wanted to have a better part, and you know, everybody wanted more to say and more to do. I think they could have done that. I wasn't really too keen on the last X-Men movie, the number 3. I didn't think it was that great. However, you know, I think if they got the right storyline going, they could have really done something. Now, having said that, they're obviously not doing that. Hopefully they will get enough of a storyline going for the next movie, and things will work out well for them.
Yeah, and I think like Star Trek, though, I think X-Men is a strong enough brand.
Yes.
I'll say the word brand.
Yes.
It's to have a big enough fan base right off
for
the bat.
For sure.
And I think people are looking for something good. I think they're looking for something to latch onto. I think if they do a good story and they have a good group of characters and a good group of actors and stuff like that, that's all people want. They want to buy in.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing that I'll say about that is there are some people, like now, for example, I find it hard to believe that anybody else can play the Wolverine character other than Hugh Jackman, right?
Mm.
I can believe if somebody else plays Cyclops or Storm or Colossus or whoever it happens to be. But man, Hugh Jackman is so ingrained into that Wolverine character. It'd be hard for me to believe anybody else can do such a good job that he did.
You're right. All right. Well, mate, best of luck to them on that.
Yeah.
Remember Logan's Run?
Yes, absolutely. Sure I remember
Michael
that.
York.
It was
a movie in the 70s, and then they turned it into a comic book.
Yes, they did.
There
was a Marvel comic book, wasn't
it? Yeah, Marvel comic book. And I think something important happened in one of them, like Thanos, the big... dies in one of the issues, I think number 6. They're actually looking at making another Logan's Run movie.
Are they really?
Well,
you know... the movie is very well done.
It was great.
It's sort of a bit of a mind trip the way it was done.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but it's certainly the concept has been done again since then, and so I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But it's certainly that was a very early I don't know how to say it. Forerunner into that sort of sci-fi psychological kind of movie, and it was very well done at the time. So I think it's due a remake.
Yeah, because, I think so too.
Because even though as good as it was, I think it could have been better. But I think the technology at the time didn't allow it to be better.
Yeah, I think so too. And the story was good enough.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah, for sure.
And and you know what? I don't want to. I guess 6 or 7 issues. I think it went 7 issues. I don't think 7 issues is long enough for us to give comic books credit for keeping the faith.
Like
Star Wars, for sure.
For sure, though. Well, yeah, you know, it ran 120 issues or something.
And,
yeah.
While nothing was happening in Star Wars, the comics kept it going.
That's right.
You know what? It did make the crossover into comics, and it did sell well. But like anything else, you run out of time.
The characters from Logan Run really weren't as memorable as the ones in Star Wars, right? Like,
fair enough.
Like a little bit different.
Fair enough. Hey, Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
And Todd McFarlane.
Okay, so Neil Gaiman, hold on. Let's just beep, beep, beep. Let's back up a second here. Neil Gaiman.
Back it up.
Neil Gaiman is the writer of the Sandman series as well as Stardust and has done a number of different movies. He was the writer of... I can't even remember.
Caroline,
yeah. So a number of different movies and things like that. And, of course, Todd McFarlane is the creator of the Spawn franchise, helped to reinvigorate Spider-Man back in the 90s.
Yes.
So these are the two people we're talking about here.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Now, they're in some sort of lawsuit. I guess back in the day, Todd McFarlane, during his Spawn run,
yes,
he developed some characters or created some characters or put characters in his book that Neil Gaiman claims to have created.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, in the early years of Spawn, in like issue number 9 of Spawn, and even just before that, really, Todd McFarlane was trying to go, because when Image first came out, people didn't believe in the title. People didn't believe, not the title, in the publisher.
Right.
Todd McFarlane was sort of trying to get big name artists and writers to come along and sign on to help create characters and storylines for their books. Mm-hmm. So I believe it's issue number 9. That the character of Angela was created, and Angela is the creation of Neil Gaiman, and so Neil Gaiman wrote the story. Of course, Todd McFarlane drew the story. So in that issue, there was a sort of collaboration of the two artists.
Right. Well, apparently, though, medieval Spawn, Angela, they're all part of, I guess, a litigation suit where Neil Gaiman claims that Todd McFarlane has made a whole ton of money that is due to Neil.
Right. Well, right? Of course, since then, we had, of course, we had the comics. And then, of course, the McFarlane came up with his toy line.
Yes.
And, of course, there was an Angela toy figure. There has been a medieval Spawn figures. There's been all kinds of graphic novels and other comics. And Angela has appeared in her own series and all kinds of different things where, of course, I'm sure Neil Gaiman believes that money should belong to him.
Now, the puzzling part is that this wasn't spelled out ahead of time.
For sure.
Like, write for me and this is what happens, right?
Absolutely.
Now, Neil Gaiman doesn't strike me as the type of guy to go looking for a couple $100,000 for somebody. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
He's a very, very successful writer.
Absolutely, absolutely. There has been many, many issues between those two guys for a long time.
Do you think it's personal?
I think it's partially personal. I think there was a big lawsuit about the whole Miracle Man character from the UK, of course, that Alan Moore started writing and other people have started after or continued after that. And that kind of, there was sort of an embittered lawsuit around the Miracle Man character, and because Todd McFarlane owned the rights for a while, but then he didn't own the rights, and then it was sort of ambiguous as to who owned the rights. And I think there's more to it than just a sheer dollar value. However, having said that, maybe Neil Gaiman is looking at that dollar value and saying, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind a few extra £1,000. Why not? Right? Like, if it's going to cost me a few dollars, then I'll go ahead and fight for it.
Fair enough. And I think, honestly, I think it might be down to a case of principle, right?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Right. And so let this be a lesson to all you creators out there. Make sure whenever you create something, get something in writing saying that it's you own it.
Yes. Remember WKRP when Les Nessman plagiarized something and I think his director goes, Les, I want you to go and to the dictionary and look up the word plagiarism. And Les looks at him and goes, okay. Anyway.
Is this thing on? Ooh, yeah. He's got a million of them.
Chris, we don't have much time left in the show, as always. What we want to do next, I think, is mention that this weekend, June 5th and 6th in Toronto. I guess
yes.
We mentioned it last week, but it is the Fan Appreciation Convention,
yeah.
The comic book convention that's happening at the Metro Toronto Convention Center on Front Street.
Yes.
Your local comic store will have a complimentary ticket to get in for the Sunday.
Yes.
And
if you don't have a ticket, you can still go to the show and you can get in for free. But what will happen is you'll get a pass You'll get like a $10 voucher to spend at a dealer, and then the dealer will be able to reimburse you or give you $10 off with your purchase.
Right. And now after the show on the Saturday night, I know that I'm planning to head over to, I think it's Ennis Hall.
Yes.
At the University of Toronto, where you will be.
Yes.
And you will be there in your facility or faculty whatever the heck you call it.
Well, yeah, we have the Joe Shuster Awards Ceremony, which is, of course, the Canadian Comic Book Creator Awards. Much like your Oscars for a movie in the movie mm-hmm. industry, we have the Canadian Comic Book Creator Awards happening at, I think it's called, is it Innes Hall in at U of T? And so we're going to have the inductees to the Hall of Fame this year, who include Richard Cumley and the entire Captain Canuck family, I'll call it, because
George Freeman
Claude Saint-Aubin.
Aubin, yeah.
Yeah, because believe it or not, Walter, Captain Canuck turns 35 this year.
Wow.
35 years old. Would you believe it?
I remember Chris as a kid.
Now, okay.
Seeing Captain
Canuck. Here's a question for you. When you saw Captain Canuck on the newsstands, was it like a big deal for you?
No. Absolutely not. It was not Spider-Man, so it interested in me in no way.
Fair enough.
But as I got older,
yes,
Chris, what happened is as I got older, it's kind of going, hey, you know, this is a really cool kind of Canadian superhero.
Right.
And I doubled back and I read the issues.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? And you know what? All credit to Richard. They were good issues. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. Some people say, you know, whatever. But they were good issues. They
right.
were good comics.
Fair enough.
I liked them. And, you know, I'm also proud of the man.
Sure.
Captain Canuck.
Sure.
I wanted him, believe it or not, I wanted him to take Captain Canuck into, you know, Marvel or something like that and give Captain Canuck a lot more exposure.
And apparently he was offered that chance, but I don't want to get into that now. But apparently he was offered that chance, but he turned it down and wanted to keep it to himself.
Right.
Fair enough.
Which is kudos to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That's good. All right. So above and beyond the Hall of Fame inductees.
Yes, yes.
There's all kinds of great categories going on.
Well, of course, yeah. This is a whole ceremony revolving around the best of the best of 2009. And so you're going to have the awards given out to the best writer, best retailer.
Yeah, now the best retailer, the Harry Kramer Awards.
Yes, which...
You and I both knew Harry.
Yes.
Harry Kramer was the Kitchener-Waterloo now and then comic shop owner, who I think was the second comic shop in Canada behind Captain George, I think, in Toronto,
downtown Toronto.
In the late 60s.
That's right.
But Captain George, excuse me, didn't really last long. And
no.
Harry lasted into whenever he died,
was it,
2000
just recently,
whatever.
Really,
right.
Yeah.
And so they've named that award after him. And some great, great, great comic shops are up for that award.
Yes.
And best of luck to, you know, Another Dimension, The Beguiling, Elsefar, Heroes in London, and the Montreal Outfit.
I know who the winners are.
Yeah, but you won't tell me.
No, I'm just bugging you. I know. I can't.
I've been bugging him all night, but he won't tell me.
I know something you don't know.
The Schuster boys. He's a tough nut to crack. Now, there's also great categories. I love this category. Comics for kids.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, from the Canadian creator standpoint.
For sure. Oh, absolutely.
I think that's great. There's a whole ton, a whole whack.
Yeah.
I think there's like 7 or 8 nominations in that. Best artist. And you know what? I love, you know, I'm a proud Canadian. But when you look at names like, you know, Cameron Stewart, Francis Manipal, Stuart Immonen, Dale Eaglesham.
Or Eaglesham, whatever.
Eaglesham.
However you want to say.
Darwin Cook.
I like how Eaglesham.
Yeah. Green Eggs and Ham.
I'd like Eaglesham, please.
Darwin Cook.
I'd like to get an order.
Leave me alone.
I'd like to get an order of Eaglesham with a side of asparagus.
back bacon, please. Where the hell was I?
I'm sorry.
Darwin Cook.
Yes.
These are great, great
absolutely,
creators.
Absolutely. Okay. You know, and these are world-renowned creators, and thank God we have them here in Canada because they really add a lot to the Canadian industry.
So now, Chris, we have like 94 seconds.
Something like that, yeah.
Show. Do you want to maybe give the listeners a scoop on any winners before the awards
ceremony? I wish I could. The only thing I can say is that if you want to come in and hang out at Innes Hall at U of T, it'd be great to have you there and check out the whole comic book ceremony, see what it's like, and maybe you can get a chance to get an autograph or meet some of your favorite creators. Unfortunately, we are running out of time again, Walter, as usual. We really do have to expand the show to an hour, but please, if you have any comments and or questions, you can email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbycomics.com. Please go out and support your local comic book retailers and have yourself a wonderful Wednesday.
See everyone next week, or even better, see everyone at the con this weekend or at the Schuster Awards.
And if you do see us, stop by and say hello, and we'd be happy to shake your hand and see how things go. Talk to you later. Bye.